Rolando, you and I have been doing this podcast for almost 3 years. Isn't that crazy?
I can't believe it. I won't believe it. I can't believe 3 years of my life has been spent podcasting. And where's my award?
Seriously. Well, I mean, I've just been enjoying spending the last 3 years discussing and arguing with you. But I will say, when I look back on these last 3 years, one of the things that I realized is how many television revivals we have talked about. So many that I think it warrants its own episode.
I would agree, because what is a revival? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we get into that argument a little bit when we were discussing this list. So I think 3 years later, now is as good a time as ever to describe what a revival is.
Absolutely. And we're going to answer that question and other questions that you may or may not have had about where we stand on the whole revival aspect. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality. Well, so, you know, it's May, spring is here. Hopefully we'll bring in summer really, really soon.
Not here in the North Jersey. It's been so chilly.
It's been really chilly.
It's shockingly. I love it. I love a good cold spring. So if this is what global warming is bringing us, I never let it stop, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Yeah. Rolando and Eddie. Eddie, who is also here.
Hi, Eddie.
Hey, guys.
They got a new puppy, and we're just, you know, just he's the most adorable thing. He actually is on Instagram now, if you're interested in viewing him and following him and his, you know, capades. Where can they find him?
Yeah, his Instagram handle, everyone, is at Nico Puggington, and it is me and Eddie's goal to make him a celebrity pug.
So how about
amongst so many other celebrity pugs? There is that pug Pablo, Luisa the pug, Doug the pug, and you know
I've
what?
I've only heard of Doug.
You never heard of that pug Pablo? He's British.
Oh my! Seriously?
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
I gotta look him up after this.
You check him out.
Nico's cuter than all of them. I can say that without even looking at them. So,
well, thank you for that. And hopefully his good looks stay throughout puberty. I'm going to be the meanest parent, let me tell you.
But yeah, so check him out. But today we're doing one of our fun episodes. We've been doing them a couple times this year. You know, we wanted to change it up.
Yeah, I mean, there's also no new movies to really review. So.
That too.
So it's just like, I'm really hoping for this blockbuster season to come into full swing because, you know, your boy here needs some content.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a heavy year, so we should be, like, glad for this downtime.
I suppose that's true, yes.
So in the midst of this somewhat downtime, we decided to give you this original episode where we discussed some of our favorite and least favorite TV revivals that have came out since we started doing this podcast, even before the podcast, right? There's some really famous ones that we just wanted to talk to you guys about.
Right.
Yeah. So so let's just like get into it. Let's like deep dive first into the whole like revival. You know, what is a revival? Let's just talk about that. Rolando is the one who, when he pitched this idea to me, sold me on what a revival was. So I'm going to hand that over to you.
Yeah. So I think a revival is anything that picks up where a franchise left off. And it can be either we're following brand new characters. However, as long as we have some semblance of the original universe that the franchise had laid out before us, mm-hmm. whether that be characters or settings, I feel like that counts as a revival. When it's not completely rebooting the past, but rather continuing it.
Absolutely.
And,
we're not doing the same thing over again, but with new people in a new way. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused because it's just like, you know, even us when we were discussing the list, you know, some people kept throwing in Party of Five, Roswell. We're just like, well, those are remakes. They're brand new properties.
I wonder who those people were.
Even me. Well, even I made the mistake because I was, I thought...
You're gung-ho for what? What were you gung-ho today for to talk about?
One Day at a Time, right? Yes. And even I forgot that One Day at a Time is not a revival. That is a straight-up remake.
Yes.
And a great one. And that reminds me, I'm going to start writing to Rita Moreno to be a guest on our podcast. So that way, because I want to discuss with her involvement on West Side Story. And also, yes, might as well, while we're at it, One Day at a Time.
Absolutely. That would be so fantastic.
I'm going to use the Latino card. I'm going to be like, please help out these two struggling Hispanic podcasters. We need your help, Rita. Please.
Come on. Like, that's all she needs. Struggling Hispanic podcasters, help us out. Like, come to our rescue.
I feel like she's going to reply like, mi gente. And then be like, of course I'll be a guest. Yes.
Yes. Oh, dream come true. But yeah, so also when it comes to revival, I think this is more so for film. But I do think that the gap in when we last got content and to when we now receive content is important. And like, you know, some people are like, well, why isn't it just a sequel? Right? Why is it a revival? Right. You know?
True.
So I think it's something that has to be for movies at least 10 years after. Like, that's when you're reviving the property. But in TV, would you say that that is this, like, that year gap is kind of applies?
No, because TV shows have a thing called canceled, right? Mm, so a TV show can get canceled. And I feel like if a show is canceled, that means that the network has decided we're terminating this show. This show is over by all means and purposes. Even if it comes back the following season, it is still a canceled show that has been brought back. It is technically a revival. Now, obviously, I don't think we count those shows that have, like, one season, like, maybe, like, they were canceled one season and picked up another one. I like to, like, usually leave it, like, but some of these shows will have a gap of, like, a few years. Family Guy is a great example, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was canceled, and even though, because of its run on Adult Swim, it kind of gained enough popularity to be brought back by Fox. And even though it's, you know, a lot of people view it as one whole show, it technically was a show that was canceled and then, you know, revived again. So, yes, you know, that's, I think, a great example. And there wasn't, I think it was like a gap of like, what, maybe three, 4 years, maybe?
That's actually not that long. I didn't even, yeah, that's right. Now I did know that it was canceled and then brought back.
Yeah, let me just, 2000, yeah, 3 years. It was canceled in 2002 and then was brought back in 2005.
Wow.
So, yeah, and, you know, that's, there you go. That's what happens sometimes. Another one that's probably of recent memory is, well, Nicole, do you want to take this one? Because I feel like you're the fan.
Are we talking about cartoon shows?
Yes.
Yes, I was actually going to mention it. Another one that was canceled by the network and then it was revived by a different network because the cult following was just so big was Futurama.
Right.
Futurama was definitely unjustly canceled by Fox. I guess it just wasn't family-based enough for them. Because if you look at Fox, they're a very family-oriented channel.
In what world is Fox a family-oriented Simpsons, channel?
Family Guy, Bob's Burgers. It's all about family, right? Futurama is just a bunch of
the
friends.
The animation shows, maybe. I don't know. But like,
I mean,
I feel
Fox
like
is kind of... It's kind of conservative compared to some of its competitors and the content that it produces.
I don't know. I remember when Fox was like the smut of primetime television.
Yeah, The Simpsons always made that joke too. But regardless, I don't know what the reason was. I just know that they made a bad call and then Futurama got revived by Comedy Central and they made a bunch of jokes about it. And thank God, because that show just did not deserve to get canceled. I'm a fan and I think a lot of people are... It's like we really strongly felt that that show was unjustly canceled. And so that was one that I think it was about a gap of 5 years.
Ooh, actually, it was 8 years.
It was 8 years?
It was an 8-year gap. Now, there were movies in between.
That's what it was.
Yeah, so that's probably why it felt less. But there were movies in between, but it was 8 years.
Wow, yeah. So that, to me, when I always think about revived television shows, I always think about Futurama, simply because it just was canceled before its time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I do think that the original run is superior... You know, I'm so glad it came back and there were some great episodes when it came back.
Which episode gave us Jurassic Bark?
That was the last season of the original run.
Okay, yeah, now that episode always makes me cry.
Gut wrenching.
So sad.
Yeah.
That's such a good one. I can't believe that Fox would cancel it after that. Like, come on, if a show that can deliver that kind of.
What a strong emotional show.
I know.
Well, it's interesting because just one last thing about Futurama is that the original ending, you know, was like Fry trying to learn this machine to prove his love for Leela and then him making a deal with the robot devil And then, like, you know, right when he thought he had everything, he loses it all, only to finally then gain Leela. But the actual ending for the revived one was that, like, have you seen it? Should I spoil it?
You can spoil it. I don't have any plans on watching it anytime soon, so.
To put it, like, kind of simply, like, there's this, and I'm actually, it's been a while since I've seen it, so I can't really remember it, but there's, like, the world is kind of, like, ending, or, like, everyone's losing their memory, but, like, Fry and Leela are able to pause it. And then they go on living the rest of their lives in this paused kind of, like, limbo, and they get old together. And then they're, like, dying, and then they're, like, maybe we should go back and, like, do this all over again, or maybe we should just, like, end it now. Oh, my God. This is not coming across that great, because I'm not remembering it exactly, but it's really romantic. I mean, yeah.
I'm, like, wondering, it's just, like, how, so many questions I have, but it's Futurama. They throw science out the window.
They just
all the time.
They do, yeah. Yeah. But Futurama just, you know, had so much heart to it. And like that ending, not the original run ending, but that ending, even though I'm doing a terrible job of explaining it right now because I need to go back and rewatch it. I just remember being so gut wrenching, which is why I don't want to go back and rewatch it because it's too sad.
Oh, that's so funny. That's how usually when I binge watch a lot of shows like over again, you know how we do that? Like we'll just keep them on in the background. There's shows that endings that I will skip because they could be a happy ending, but it still makes me sad to like see a show end.
Absolutely.
Like, for me, it was Parks and Rec. Like every time I get to that ending, it's always so bittersweet, despite the fact that it's such a happy ending for a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, what about Friends? Yep.
Friends, I usually don't get to the ending just because I usually skip the last season.
Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah.
I usually just like, I'm just like, it's a fine, they have like its episodes, I guess, but I don't care that much.
Yeah. I honestly never watched Parks and Rec, so I don't know how it ended.
But. Oh, Parks and Rec is so good. That's such a good show. I hope that they got like a nice little revival for a night when, during COVID. Where the entire cast got together and they had like a special
Zoom call. Yeah, like a Zoom call.
Yeah, it was like a Zoom call episode. Now and it wasn't like, it wasn't a table reading. It was actually like it was formatted. They edited it to be a full episode, but it was still everyone recording themselves on their phones. Wow. And they still made it a way to work like an original storyline. And it was great. I thought that was like, oh, this is like original. This is the entire cast is here. And even though no one was together, they were able to play it off like they were all still together. It was great.
That's awesome. That's actually interesting that you bring that up too, because that was a really unique form of the revival that was happening last year. You know, mm-hmm. when people were like stuck indoors, but they were trying to push for like new and engaging content. They had all these casts from all these old TV shows like get together to do like a one-off on Zoom or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's its own form of a revival.
It was. Did you catch any of those?
No, not at all. I wasn't interested.
Yeah. I mean, the only one I saw was the Parks and Rec one. I wanted 30 Rock. I guess all right. So 30 Rock also did one, but that was such a commercial for Peacock that I was just like 10 minutes in, I was just like, no, thank you.
Wow.
I
respected it. And that's your other favorite show.
They pulled back a little bit on that.
It is, right? It was so I still secretly hope that show will come back for like a revival. Like I think a revival of that show would be great.
I hope so. I hope it's not one of those shows that come back and it's like, why did you? You know, it's interesting because when we first started the podcast, we were planning on covering the show that was getting revived from like 20 years ago called Murphy Brown.
Right.
But based on the reviews, it was we decided to skip it.
The reviews and the ratings, and we were just like, well, this isn't going to get us any listens.
Yeah, yeah, this isn't going to be worth it. And I think everyone's kind of forgot that happened.
I think so, too. Except the Animaniacs, they remembered. They called it out in their on their song, their remakes
oh my gosh,
and
that's
revival
right.
song.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a butt of a joke in the Animaniacs, another mm-hmm. show that got revived pretty successfully, I would say.
By what measurement do you measure?
By the fact that there's going to be more.
Yeah, but they got signed up for 2 seasons, though. That was decided before season came out. So,
yeah, I mean, it's successful in that way. Was I a fan? Like, it was, you know, it was all right.
I mean, our guests weren't the biggest fans either, and they love Animaniacs.
Yeah, they have a whole podcast about it. Check it out, the Animaniacast.
Yes. But no, I guess we want to get into this then?
Let's do it.
Let's get right into our favorite
I think
revivals.
We're kind of already into it, but...
I mean, we kind of are, but like, let's make it official, guys.
What are you guys talking about last 15 minutes?
Yes. <seriously. laughs> well, let's do it like this, right? We have covered a lot of old TV revivals. So we're going to go one by one and talk about maybe our favorite that we've covered and why, you know, it stands out as a favorite. Do any of you guys have, like, does anyone want to go first? Is there anything that sticks out?
Eddie, do you want to do the honors and go first?
Yes, I'll take the honor. As you probably remember from our previous podcast about this revival, how I loved Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And how that was just, I felt like, so well done in reviving the characters from the Karate Kid universe movies to this, like, so many years later, and them just being, like, older middle-aged men. And then karate is, like, still a factor in their lives. And seeing this next generation kind of find story within this world. So I've been a big fan. I'm looking forward to the next season. And, yeah, I was actually very happy with this revival.
Yeah, I think it's tops. I think we can all agree, like, Cobra Kai is one of the best shows that we've covered, period, on this podcast.
I would agree on that one. I think it's such a... And I was so hesitant on watching that show from the get-go.
Like, me too.
Like,
I just had desire. I'm just like, I don't know if I need to watch. And then there's also, like, a YouTube series, and I was just like, ugh.
And then Netflix got it, and perception changed.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's
all it takes. Yeah. Like, oh, it's free? Or it's already on our Netflix?
No, well, technically it was part of YouTube Red, and I was just like, I will never pay for YouTube Red.
Exactly.
So I just won't. Yeah. But I already have Netflix, so yeah. No, I mean, that's a great choice, and I think it's... I feel like it's also a lot of our audience's probably favorite revival.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Cobra Kai.
A lot of people do love Cobra Kai and stuff.
It's the shit. So, yeah, for sure. What about you, Orlando?
Oh, I was going to ask you. Okay, no, I can go. I actually don't know. So, Cobra Kai, I think, might be also my favorite one. But if... I feel like, duh, right? So, what would I pick after that? Probably, maybe Picard. I like, despite the fact that I didn't like the ending. Like, the very, very ending. I think they should have just killed... Picard. Spoiler, guys, he's alive. I think they should have just killed him off and then given us, like, a great ending to this character's life. But yeah, I think Picard was such a nice... I thought it was a very nice show to watch. I enjoyed watching the politics and kind of seeing... I mean, my favorite thing about it is watching this man who has... he's so principled, kind of going up against the system that he used to represent, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's such a timeless tale. And I think the other thing I like about it, this is always resonates with me, these stories of heroes who, you know, give up, you know, put down their cape, but no matter what, adventure always calls to them. And he's, you know, it's such a common story trope, but it works. It's one of my favorite ones.
Absolutely.
But I really enjoyed about Picard was that whole found family vibe. You know, he gets this ragtag crew to take on this mission, and they're each kind of like messed up or broken in their own way, and how they kind of like buy into Picard's vision, you know, of how the Federation, the ideals of how the Federation should be, how should we live, you know, together, all different species in this ideal that he has of the future, the Federation, what the Federation should be. So I was, I really love the supporting cast, the crew, this new crew that he's with.
Yeah. And what's the name of the lady? Six?
Seven of Nine.
My only other complaint here is just like she ends up getting a relationship here with the lady and we don't get to see it happen on screen. That still frustrates me, so
yeah,
hopefully
same.
We can explore that at the end at the next season, since it's getting into the season for some reason, but whatever. Paramount Plus needs to make its content too.
I mean, there have been a couple of articles that will explore a lot of LGBTQ themes.
That's right. Paramount Plus for the next knows season. Its audience.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, they got RuPaul, so hey.
Yeah, exactly. I would not be surprised if RuPaul makes a cameo. And, like, they're trying to do some synergy here where it's just...
Drag of the future?
Yeah. Like, a whole episode where Picard has to go visit, like, this entire...
RuPaul's still alive?
It's just a planet of drag queens. And, yeah, RuPaul is still alive. She's just...
Found a way to be ageless. She already did, so...
What's Candy Muse's joke about RuPaul? Oh, RuPaul, wow. Act your age?
And then she died.
And then she died. That's such a. It was a good joke.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction. I'm going to pick an episode that I actually want our listeners to go back and listen to because I thought it was a really fun conversation that we had. And I'm going to pick a random episode we did last year during COVID when we covered To Tell the Truth, the revival of the game show.
Oh.
We had a really, really interesting argument or just like a discussion about, I guess, moral obligations in television shows.
Yeah, I remember because I did not, the way they handled, who was that guy? The guy from that movie, Catch Me If You Can?
Frank Abagnale, yeah.
Yeah, like the way, so like, it's just like, oh, we're going to glamorize this criminal conduct?
Yeah, it was like, one of these men is a criminal and stuff. And it was just like, oh, okay, so how'd you do this? How'd you do that? Like, that's it. It's very kind of like no emotions about it. Yeah. And no, like, yeah, like no opinions. It's very almost kind of like neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we had this interesting discussion where like, should it be that way? You know, should they just like not take a stand on things that we knew were wrong? You know, in particular, Rolando did not feel that the platform given to the medium was deserved, if you recall that.
The platform given
The platform of the TV show. And one of them was like, one of these is a cop medium or a psychic medium.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. You're right. I remember. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought you meant like the medium, like media. I'm just like, wait, TV?
Oh, no, I meant the psychic medium. I'm sorry. So, like...
Yeah, I do remember this. Right. Because, again, it's like these are, you know, either criminals, apparently, or people with real accomplishments. And then a medium is just like, that's not a thing. It's just not real. Like, you just say you're a medium. I'm sorry. I have a lot of hostility still towards this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you're going to sandwich this medium in between a person who swallowed swords or can spit fire. And you want me to believe that this is a thing? Don't.
But that's also like, you know, people have differences. And I think this was part of our discussion one where it's like, hey, just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean that they shouldn't be like given this platform.
There's been no evidence that a medium has ever helped in solving crime. Actually, there's evidence quite to the contrary about how they usually fuck up crime solving. So
it's a really interesting conversation. As you can see, we're having some of it right now. So right. I would definitely encourage people to go back and listen just because, you know, like, what is your opinion on all of this? So, and if you're listening to this episode and have an opinion, please do share.
Yeah, way to poke the bear, Nicole. I haven't thought about that since we did that episode, and here I am getting all riled up again.
That was actually my goal all along. Haha. So we've done a bunch of these, and we have some favorites, but we also have some not so favorites. Do you guys have any that you're like, ugh, I did not enjoy this one we covered? I mean, I have.
I thought you
one.
Were asking our audience.
No, I was asking you. No. Yeah, I was like literally waiting for them to reply.
Yeah, you're just waiting for us, and I'm like, just like, oh, okay, we're segueing to like have our audience reach out to us. Okay, which ones did I not like? I think looking at the list that we have, probably the least favorite one for me has been maybe Arrested Development.
That was the one I was gonna say too.
Yeah, like you know, I think it just. The original run of the show was so strong and so good.
Strong.
And then by the revival, the first revival, when they couldn't even get the whole cast together, it's just like, then why even bother?
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, by the final season, it kind of found its footing a little bit, but by then I think it was too little too late. And also the messaging was weird on the show. And I was just like, I don't know. It was like, oh, I also remember I started by that point. I started like also watching another rich family go poor, and you know where this show
Schitt's
is
Creek.
Where Schitt's Creek, right? So where Arrested Development is a very cynical show.
Mm-hmm.
Schitt's Creek has such a heart to it, right? And I was just like, oh, wow, like, this is giving me things that I didn't know I wanted. So I think it's because of that, like, this was just a ill-timed, revival. And rest in peace, Jessica Walters,
she's great.
She'll never come back as Lucille Bluth, who, no matter what, is probably the strongest character on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also...
It's so true.
She's so good.
She's so good.
I don't care for Job.
I don't care. And that's like her... That's like one of her first lines in the series,
That's her introduction to her character. It's so good. I mean, I also think that the show kind of got unnecessarily dark, right? Like, for me, the character of Buster was always kind of like, oh yeah, he had a lot of issues and stuff, but we didn't really need to like focus on how dark his issues were, because it was always kind of like funny,
right?
So for them to kind of go in the direction where it was like, oh no, like, actually his issues are no longer funny, it's kind of disturbing,
right?
I felt was I didn't want to go there with Buster, and then they fucking went there.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. That makes sense. Like, seeing his issues with his mother come to life full screen. I don't know.
And like, I'm gonna spoil it, guys. But in like Murder,
like, wait, did he murder? So I didn't even finish the season. No. So he murdered Lucille too.
The exact way that it ends is that in that magic trick thing that he was doing, they open it up and then out comes her body, and then he's like, "Oops." So, like, he was convincing them that he didn't do it all the whole time, but that magic, elaborate Job magic trick thing that he had, that's where he put her body.
Oh. So, Job did it. So, not Job. Buster did it.
Yeah. And then, like, he, like, said something, like, they look down at her dead body, and he says something like, she kind of looks like Mom, doesn't she? So, it's, like, almost too on the nose.
Yeah. That is very on the nose. Was Job so gay by the end of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll take that. You know, like, hey.
I guess.
The whole gay Job thing was actually kind of, I was there for it.
But yeah, no. I didn't even finish the revival, see? Like, I think I saw, like, our minimum, which is, like, at least half of it.
Yeah. I finished it just because, you know, I was like, why not? And I was enjoying it somewhat enough, but it was especially the ending that made me be like, no, why?
Yeah.
So
you're picking Arrested Development. I'm picking Arrested Development.
Eddie, what are you picking?
Do you have something that you just didn't like that we covered?
I can't think of anything right now.
No? All right. I'll throw in one more.
Oh.
And it's going to be probably Animaniacs. I don't think it was as good as the original.
Yeah, that's a good one. We hinted at it, and that's definitely a good one where there was much excitement, and then it disappointed.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, Arrested Development, I think, is the bigger sin. But Animaniacs is just like, like, the first episode was cute, but that's it.
Yeah, it didn't bring back any of the magic of the other show, for me at least. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there have been so many TV revivals that we haven't covered, and we talked a little bit about some of them, but there are some that I definitely wanted to point out, and I'm sure there's some that you guys wanted to point out that you either wish we covered or, you know, it was just way before, you know, our podcast time. So do you guys have any of those?
Well, I'll start it right off. I'm going to get in right hot. A couple of years ago, DC released its own streaming service for some reason called DC Universe. And people were like, why? Right? Yeah. But they gave us a brand new season of Young Justice, a show that I think was canceled prematurely. Now, Young Justice, for those who don't know, and you're just like, what is he talking about? So Young Justice is a show that focuses on all the sidekicks of, like, the superheroes. Uh-huh. So it focuses on Robin, it focuses on Speedy, Kid Flash, all, like, the B-listers, right? And they form their own team, and they kind of take care of, like, the missions that are maybe, you know, small potatoes compared to the Justice League. And for a show that's targeted for kids, it's shockingly pretty mature. I think it has, and by second season, like, they're just like, oh, you know, let's make it for, like, young, like, older kids. And they're dealing with some heavier stuff. And I enjoyed the show, but the show was canceled because, like, toys weren't selling. And so Cartoon Network decided, all right, we're gonna do Teen Titans Go, and that's kind of what became their standard model, right? And then disappointed a lot of fans, because this show was I think it was like a very well-told story. It was a story that was original to the show, right? It wasn't taken from the comic books or anything. They were just like going with the flow and just like creating original content. And, you know, fans have been wanting a revival to complete the series, to complete the story that was laid out by the end of season two. And I didn't think it was ever going to happen because, you know, DC and Warner Brothers are notorious for not doing that. But when they launched this new streaming app, they surprised fans with just like, oh, you're going to get Young Justice season three. And yeah, I started watching it and stuff, and I stopped. Not because I wasn't enjoying it, but because it had been such a long gap between season two and season three that I had to go back and start rewatching season one and like kind of catch up. And I just never found the time to finish it. But actually, surprise, guys, I'm doing that now. I'm kind of rewatching season one of Young Justice so I can get into season three of Young Justice, because you know what? I deserve it.
Yes, you do.
This is for me. So yeah, so that's it. That's my long-winded one of like one of the random ones that technically we probably could have covered because I think we were already doing the podcast, but I didn't want to make you sit through two seasons of an animated kids show.
Hey, it's okay. You know, we've both sat through things that we didn't necessarily wanted to. An animated kids show is not the worst of, you know, it. So I could do it if you want to do it. And if the audience wants to hear us cover it, then I'd be down.
Yes, you let us know, guys. We're here to serve you.
Yeah, and ourselves sometimes.
Yes, it's true.
That was a good one. Mine was, I think, one of the best approaches to doing a revival, which was the Gilmore Girls: A Year in the Life.
Okay, right.
Sometimes when they revive shows with the original cast and something, and it's only like 10 or so years later, they'll like do a whole show. Like we covered Will and Grace.
Will and Grad,
and they came back like fully for like at least three seasons, you know, and it was nice to see them back. But like, you know, did I want to keep watching it? I don't know. I think that the Gilmore Girls.
I did.
Did you continue watching that show?
I mean, not like regularly, but like every now and then I saw an episode on Hulu.
I see. Well, I guess for my personal preference, when I watched Gilmore Girls, it was all I needed.
Yeah, it was one season.
It was all I needed from like that. Like the fact that it got revived for like 3 hour and a half long episodes, all I needed.
No, they were each an hour and a half long?
Yeah. They were like films. Yeah, and it was like seasons or something. Yeah.
Movies. Okay, interesting. Yeah. No, I never seen it. So we had talked about early in the podcast covering this, right? Because, you know, you were a fan, and so Eddie and I started watching Gilmore Girls as a result, and I found myself like, oh, this show is wonderful.
Yeah.
But we then decided we're not going to do it, so I just stopped watching.
Aw. Yeah. Well, so, yeah.
Continue. How far did we get? To season two?
Yeah.
Season two. We got up to season two. And, well, because, you know, when you're doing this podcast, guys, like, there's so many movies and TV shows we have to watch. It's just like, all right, well, I don't have time to watch TV for pleasure anymore.
That's true. And that's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one of the things about this podcast.
It's one of the curses. it's our cross to bear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. So how does the revival compare to the original?
Well, so there's actually a lot of debate in the Gilmore Girl fan base as to whether or not the original Gilmore Girls ended the way that it should have. Now, Gilmore Girls had like six seasons, right? The very last season, the show.
No, don't spoil it because I actually might watch
it. I'm not spoiling it in the sense where I'm telling you a little bit of the production of the show. Okay. There was Amy Sherman-Palladino, who created Gilmore Girls and Marvelous Miss Maisel. She's really talented, right?
What a great show.
She was the showrunner for all of it except for the last season. She had there was all this drama pretty much with the network, and then she left and somebody else took over the show. And a lot of people say that the last season suffers for it.
I mean,
now, I'm not spoiling anything if you know who Lorelai ends up with.
Is it the diner guy?
It's the diner guy, Luke.
Oh, surprise,
there are those
surprise.
Who think, yes, Lorelai is meant to be with Luke, and that makes sense. And there are those who do not believe that and think that her being with Luke is the worst thing and the worst way that show could have ended.
Wait, so why? Even for season one, I saw just like, clearly they're going to end up together.
They were kind of hinting at it, but some people are Team Christopher hinting at it. All this stuff.
Like, they were like constantly giving each other googly eyes. Hey, what are you hinting at it?
One of our good friends, Roy, is Team Christopher, so.
Who the hell's Christopher? I don't know who that is.
That's Rory's father.
Oh, okay.
Her big on and off again, but are they really actually meant to be person, right?
Does he show up in season one?
Yes.
Yeah, he shows up in season one.
Remember they had sex on the balcony?
They don't, but okay.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Is he hotter than Luke? Because Luke isn't that attractive.
They're very different.
They're different, yeah.
Because Luke reminds me of Christopher Maloney from like Law & Order SVU, but like not Law & Order SVU one. He reminds me of Christopher Maloney like Oz.
Okay. I never watched Oz, but I could see the similarity. Yeah, I could see it.
You're missing out.
Pretty much.
There's a show that should get revived.
If you were unhappy with the way that Gilmore Girls' original run ended, then you probably had mixed feelings about this new one. And a lot of people, I think overall, nobody like hated it. I think it is kind of like you either were really into it or you kind of weren't. But, you know, it had Amy Sherman-Palladino and it had everyone back and it had a lot of the mystique.
Including Melissa McCartney, right?
For like 5 minutes, but yes.
You know what? Guess what?
They got her.
The fact that she even, they got her. Like the fact that she'd even agreed is just like, you know what? Good for you, Melissa.
Yeah, she's kind of too busy for that, so.
She loves that show, though.
That makes me happy to hear. Yeah. She's wonderful in that show.
She was such a great character.
Yeah, she was.
She was such a great character.
Good character. Yeah. It was kind of a shame that she wasn't in it more, but at least they got her.
Oh,
in
my
for, like,
God. I
want
to revisit this now.
It's such a good show. The Gilmore Girls has so many great characters, you know, and we got to see them again. And that was like more than anything worth it to see what they were up to. And they actually handled like the father had passed. So they handled that actually like really sentimentally and beautifully.
The father dies?
Of Lorelai, the grandfather and the father of Lorelai. Yeah, that actor had passed.
Oh, he died before the show. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So they had to handle that in the show and stuff. And what they did with Emily, who's everyone's favorite character, let's be honest,
who
was great.
Is Emily?
Emily Gilmore is Lorelai's mother.
Okay, got it. She is great.
She's like Lucille Bluth.
She is.
Yeah.
But not as
cunty. Well, kind of, but.
I would argue more so. She's Lucille Bluth has a maternal love. No, I'm like.
But so anyway, point is, it's a really interesting one, and I just think Gilmore Girls is such a strong show overall. And I definitely would say that was one that I think people should definitely give a shot. And I'm bummed that we never got to cover on the podcast.
Yeah, but by the time we did the podcast, I think it was already out for like 2 years.
Yeah, it was old news by then. So
interesting. Do they have plans to come back and do one more, or was it just a one-off?
I think it was just a one-off, and I think it should just be that.
Okay, interesting. Got it. Eddie, what's like a revival that you wish we had talked about on the podcast, but you watch on your own?
The Conners.
Oh, that's right. You watch The Conners.
So I've been watching The Conners. So it's funny because I'm not watching it from like when it was Roseanne. And then it became The Conners. So mm-hmm. I haven't seen those seasons. I'm watching it from this season present that's, which I'm calling it the COVID-19 season.
Right.
Where the show actually deals with the pandemic. And they're actually like incorporate within the storyline is their struggles, their fears, being quarantined. Their kids are suffering because they're like, going to school basically on their tablet or their old computers and stuff like that. And Black Lives Matters also makes an entrance in the storyline too. Yeah. So they're kind of dealing with all like today's issues.
How does Black Lives Matter? Pandemic.
Well, just protesting okay. the whole protest.
Where does the show even take place? No, I don't know. I'm asking.
No, it takes place now.
No, yeah. Where?
Oh, when? In Lanford, Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. Okay, got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just curious.
I was a big fan of Roseanne growing up, so this was a show that I really wanted us to cover. And now that I know that Eddie watches it, maybe, you know, we can cover it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And but what it's very interesting too. It's like it's funny, but it's so sad at the same time. Mm-hmm. You have these characters just kind of still dealing you know, their lives didn't turn out. The kids, their lives didn't turn out the way they wanted to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. It's like, so it's interesting to see that. And
that's
then,
rough. Yeah.
Yeah. And I still root for them, mm-hmm. you know, just like still rooting, like somehow like so, something like good things are going to happen for them.
Yeah, yeah, always looking up. Aw, yeah.
The show is so depressing to watch, though, because I feel like they do the makeup and the lighting here to make them look harsh.
Yeah, like they it's like they're drinking like hard water there. It's like their faces are just like really like.
Yeah.
I feel like makeup artists are going in there and like making sure that you see every line on their face.
Well, I appreciated the way that they tackled the, you know, they had to kill off the character of Roseanne and stuff, but they chose to do it with something that was actually kind of like
topical
and also something that, you know, like a sudden death like that, you know, like accidental overdose and whatnot. Like that shit is scary and that's terrible. And that's such a hard loss.
It is true life. I don't know. I still feel like on some level that it was the wrong choice to let Roseanne go. I don't know. I haven't. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think
I get what
from
you're saying.
Maybe a free speech point of view, because it's like the stuff that she said was abhorrent, but like it's not any. Like, we knew she was going in. Like, why? You know, ABC. Yeah. Like well, get off your high horse on this one, because like you gave her the job to begin with. Like, this is the molehill you guys want to die on.
I, you know, my stance is more so like, hey, the way that people felt about what she said, they are absolutely entitled to. And people,
of course,
you know, are entitled to their rage, and they had to make up for that. I guess for me, Roseanne is clearly someone who suffers with mental illness. And I guess like, the person.
Really?
Oh yeah. She's battled with mental illness for a while. She's been pretty, open about that, you know, bipolar depression stuff.
Oh,
like
I didn't
that,
know that.
Right?
Okay.
So, what do we handle that differently, or do we just treat everyone the same? You know, like, and this is a question that I'm asking. I'm not absolutely trying to 100% defend Roseanne and her and what she said, but more so open up this conversation of, you know, like sometimes people who have these problems are given a platform and then they do things that, you know, are out of pocket, but we're not as like. We don't see it for what it really is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're not as empathetic.
Yeah.
Because, well, like, I didn't, for example, I didn't even know that she had, like, problems like that. So I would be one of those people who's just judging, taking it at face value.
Yeah. And right? That's so the problem with our culture and everything. And, like, outside of this, like, there's a lot of things being taken at face value. But yeah. I don't know. So, maybe we can move on from, if we do the Connors, we should talk about this more in length.
For sure. I think I will say this. The one silver lining that comes from this is, like, I think one of the things that we don't take into account with, like, quote-unquote cancel culture is the job loss, right? So when we cancel a show or we cancel the syndication of a show, we're not just punishing that one person that we're trying to target. Usually the other people that suffer is the supporting cast, for example, who aren't as big name as, you know, I'm thinking Bill Cosby, right? Like, I'm thinking of, like, the poor rest of the cast is living off of royalties. Like, now their income is suffering.
Absolutely. Or
in a case like Roseanne, like, the crew that would have been working on the show, like, now they would have been jobless, but they were able to come back for another season under a brand new show, right? So, I mean, that's like, okay, cool. That's like a nice thing. And this is like, and clearly this is like, obviously, like me talking as a filmmaker, as someone who has been a freelancer before, right? I'm looking at it through that lens, but you know, it's, you know, we work in the field. So this is kind of stuff that we think about.
Absolutely. And I also come from the standpoint of like, hey, you know, like terrible things happen, but like, are we valid in, you know, wanting more terrible things to happen in order to write it? You know, like, oh, mm-hmm. Someone said something bad, so now let's like ruin, you know, their lives.
Right.
It doesn't feel like we're not being the bigger person. Like, yes, people should be removed from their platforms that shouldn't be, that have a voice, that are giving out wrong messages. But, you know, like, I think some things are taken a little far. And I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Are you talking about Trump?
Oh, well, I do believe in, you know, freedom of speech. And I do think that the moment we start censoring one person, it's going to kind of just like start trickling down in many different ways. And I hate some of the things he says, but unfortunately we live in America and people are entitled to say whatever the fuck they want.
Interesting. Despite the fact that he helped incite an insurrection?
Yeah, actually, despite it, because again, there's so much that has happened that have brought out terrible things within this country. That's not the only instance where that happened.
Fair point.
You know, and like it's like people who say that art or like music, you know, the Satanic Panic, you know, they were blaming it. Oh, this music inspires violence and all this stuff. It's like, does it? Or like, I was talking more about that. Like, does it in that way? I hope I'm making sense.
It does. Yes, yes, yes.
You can't make exceptions for something like freedom of speech. You just can't.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my thesis statement on that.
I have complicated feelings on freedom of speech in general, too. So I get it.
And I, me, personally. I understand that. Yeah.
Any other random ones that like you wish we would cover?
Yeah. Like, so there's a show in England that I love. I've loved ever since I was a wee baron. It's called Absolutely Fabulous. And it's about, you know this show?
Yes. Oh my God. I think I've literally almost laughed myself unconscious because I couldn't get air on the jokes of that show.
What show
it's
is
such a show? It's a British sitcom about these two older women who are kind of like stuck in their 20s and stuck in their like kind of like wild and free lifestyles.
Okay.
But one of them's a mother. Hilarious already. And yeah, and they're just like, that's just their lives.
They're like best friends. They're best friends. And one of them just lives off of alcohol.
She does not
consume food.
She doesn't consume food,
It's just like cigarettes.
Yeah, one of them has a daughter, and like the daughter's the adult and like taking care of her mother. And then the other one lives off of her and just lives off of alcohol. And they're total messes. And it's so much fun. And it's so hilarious.
Interesting.
And it got revived. It was a thing in the 90s. They revived it in the 2000s. They most recently revived it again to make a movie. Like, people love this show and they don't want it to end.
I would totally go. That sounds like right up my alley. I've never heard of this show ever.
It would be a lot of fun just to like, that's the thing. Like, how open are we to doing things that aren't so like current?
Contemporary? Yeah. That's up to the audience.
Maybe we should hand it over to you guys us know.
You guys tell us. It's just like, do you guys even care about the new crap anymore? Because a lot of it is crap. And do you want us to talk about like sometimes the random good stuff that's out there that was revived and done right? I feel like we could do a nice mix up. That's just my opinion.
A nice mix-up actually could be a refresher,
The interesting thing, too, is happening, too, is that we've, like, been binging. I mean, you've been home, quarantine, you know, not going to movies. But you've been binging so much. After a while, it's like, oh, my God, I went through all the new stuff.
Yeah.
So now I'm, like, digging for old shows.
Yep.
You know, like, I started watching this British show called Doc Martin.
Oh, how is that?
I love it. I'm like, I just finished the first season, and it's ridiculous. It hasn't been, that I know of, hasn't been revived. But it's one of those things. It's like, I was just looking for a new show, and I randomly started watching this particular one. And now it's like, okay, this is my new show now.
Wow, look at that. Oh, I actually really like British TV, so if you recommend it, I will watch it.
Okay.
Because I like British TV, so yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
That's actually one we never covered that a lot of people have requested, at least on my end, is The Office.
It's a remake.
Well, it would qualify for the podcast, period.
Yeah, it would. That one I would be down to do. Again, we were always saying it's just like, it's old. But like, people really love the fuck out of that show. So, yeah, you know what? Why not?
Yeah.
It's door is open on that one, too. I've seen... That's like, I don't have to do much homework on that one. That used to be one of those shows that I would just have it replaying on the background.
Absolutely. There would be no homework. I mean, I think that we've left enough questions open for our audience that we, like, if you guys don't share your opinions on all of the things we want to hear from you from tonight, like, that's just messed up, guys.
Yeah. Seriously.
Just reach out to us. If we have all these things. Like, what do you want? Let us know what you want. We want to know.
Let us know what you want. It's true. I got, for me, the one remake. A revival for a show that I would love for us to cover, but I don't think it's up our alley. Like, I don't know. Is Temptation Island.
Okay. I've never seen an episode at all. Never.
But are you familiar with the concept?
No.
Eddie, are you familiar with the concept?
It's a reality TV show where couples go, right?
Ooh, you know it. Okay, go.
Couples go, and they kind of... Like, get split up? Do they get split up?
Yes, they get split up.
Okay,
They
get split up by gender. And then it's like, it's other beautiful people of the opposite sex. And the problem is, they get tempted to cheat.
Right.
So
oh, wow.
That is the premise of the show. So, and usually now, if I remember correctly from the original run, if the couples stay together, they win money.
Mm-hmm.
But if the couples break up, whoever the partner that like the other person is running off with, I think they have an option of like getting money or staying with that, you know, or being a homewrecker, basically.
Oh, shit.
And I want to say that that is an actual element of the show. If it's not, you know what? Temptation Island, you did some. Yeah, it should be. This is like a show that is intended to break up couples. And I remember watching the original run as a teenager and thinking it's just like, this is so scandalous. This is like peak trash TV. Mm-hmm. This is when like reality TV shows were still considered just like garbage.
And they were turning before it they out become, like nonstop.
Yeah, yeah, and this was one of those, and this was, I was all about it. And lo and behold, last year I heard that there was a Temptation Island revival, and I was just like, no fucking way this show's coming, because the original one only lasted 2 seasons.
Oh, really?
It was so, I think it was just deemed like so trashy that it was just like canceled.
That reminds me of that show Too Hot to Handle.
Similar. That's where your girl Chloe's from.
Chloe, yes. From The Circle.
From The Circle. One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, too bad that didn't qualify for this. Even though technically it is a remake.
It is an American remake, but it's also been like, I think it's like a franchise, though.
Yeah, it's a franchise.
That's the only problem. Because I wanted to do that with RuPaul. I kind of figured like, oh, but that's technically a franchise.
Damn it.
It's not a remake. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Eddie, is there any show that you wish we would cover that maybe down the line we can, that's a revival?
Veronica Mars.
Oh, okay. Veronica Mars. And that one got revived as a TV show and a movie, right?
Yeah. So it got first as a movie.
Oh, first as a movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's first right. as okay. a movie, and then a TV show on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, that would be, because, you know, you know that my favorite actress is in there.
Kristen Stewart?
Yes.
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
What?
Kristen Bell.
Oh.
Kristen Stewart.
Whoops. My bad. I got the first name right.
From Twilight.
From Twilight.
Kristen Bell from Twilight.
That might be fun. I've never seen Veronica Mars ever. Ever.
No?
No.
Okay.
So I actually always describe it as the cooler Nancy Drew.
Yeah, I would agree on that one.
You know, in the sense of like young girl, detective, and then kind of girl. But I feel like it's grittier. It's I don't know. Feel it makes more. Yeah, it's like it's better.
I mean, this was like a show that came out when like young women solving crimes. Because Joan of Arcadia also came out as a teen. And I know she's not solving crimes. She's solving like Christian dilemmas. But like, I always confuse those two shows together. Joan of Arcadia and Veronica Mars. I feel like they even had similar names. Joan of Arcadia, Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? What does that even mean? Like, you know what I mean?
That's also why I'm like, which one's which? You know?
Yeah, see? Despite the fact... but I have seen a couple episodes of Veronica Mars. It's fine. It has a real following. Like, that one has a strong, like, cult following. So, yeah, if you're a cult follower of Veronica Mars and you want us to cover it, let us know. Hey, you might be a guest. Feel free to reach out and be like, cute. I'm a Veronica Mars expert. Hit me up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and you guys should hit us up. You guys should email us, remakes, reboots, revivals @gmail.com. We're active on Instagram. At Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. Facebook.com. Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. Twitter, Remakes Podcast. If you like this podcast, please, and you have an iPhone, find us on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Let us know how you really feel. And these things, they help us grow.
They do. And they help other listeners find us as well.
Absolutely.
And you can also call the Remakes, Reboots, Revivals hotline. Mm-hmm. That number is 862-248-2326. 862-248-2326. Call, leave a voicemail, and we might play it on the air.
Absolutely. And yeah, so this was fun. If you guys like episodes like these too, like, let us know. We'll keep doing some stuff like this, like one-offs and things that are more so of a theme instead of actual properties, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're fun to do from time to time, and it's less homework, so.
Like, one of my ideas that I wanted to do was Groundhog Day. Like,
yes.
The idea of Groundhog's Day getting revisited, right? Even though it's not like Groundhog Day.
As a story mechanism.
Yes, it's like the actual structure itself that gets rehashed since that movie has come out. And it's been rehashed so much as of late, and I love it.
Absolutely. And I would love to do one where the Rashomon storyline has been rehashed and redone.
Oh, there's actually a really terrible gay movie that uses the Rashomon formula.
Oh, really?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Rashomon?
Yeah.
That's one where a crime happens and, like, you get the perspective from all these different people.
Oh, okay, okay.
Even they weren't there. And you usually see it, like, you see, like, their own stories as, like, their own vignettes.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
You've seen
it's
it.
It's my favorite trope.
It happens. You see it a lot on like, I know The Simpsons did an episode similar to Rashomon.
Yeah, X-Files did an episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people have done that. So, you know, I like tackling that.
I'd be down to do that one too.
Yeah, that'd be cute.
So yeah, if you guys want it, let us know.
Yeah, seriously, we told you how to reach out, so all you got to do is do it.
Yes. So I guess that's really it for this week.
Yeah.
I don't know, Nicole. Anything else?
On that note,
stay unoriginal.